This week on Full Credit to the Boys, we've got an update on Norway's penis rock. We preview Origin 3, and the Knights find a new way to lose a game of footy. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast. I am former legend at former_legend. Sitting to the right of me is the man that you can find on Twitter at Sid Punts, who this week wrote his first column for the Mamma Mia website titled Why All Men Are Arseholes.
Yep. So
tonight he's wearing a life jacket, a stack hat, and some track pants.
That I am.
And is fresh from his debut on Australian Ninja Warrior, where he was disqualified after pissing in the pool. Welcome, Sid Punts.
Thank you very much. I don't know why you asked me to wear a stack hat and track pants.
I didn't say stack hat and track pants. I said a cracking hat and some black pants.
Why do I have to wear a life jacket?
I said a nice jacket. We're live on the internet telly tonight.
On the telly?
On the internet telly.
All right, my mistake. You got to speak clearer.
Let's talk about this week. Liam Gallagher, who suffers from psoriasis. You know what psoriasis is?
I do. It's putrid.
It's putrid. He's revealed that a fan once snorted his dandruff, thinking it was cocaine.
Wow.
Big shout out to Cocaine Cassie if she's out there.
Or Dandruff Cassie, as she's now known.
Dandruff Cassie, that's right. Yeah, Dandruff Cassie. The British rocker said the incident happened after his former band Oasis played Glastonbury for the first time in the mid-90s. Gallagher also hammered U2, who were mates of his estranged brother Noel. He said, "I'd rather eat my own shit than listen to those bunch of beige fucks."
Well, I'd rather snort his psoriasis than
listen to the rubbish.
No, I love U2.
What about his new stuff?
Mate, I've got a question.
Go.
Why does Liam Gallagher keep all his dandruff for a start? And why does he keep it in little rows on a mirror with a razor blade?
How much is dropping off that he's collecting it like that?
That's what I reckon.
Drop your stack hat off. I can't look at you.
You can't?
No.
All right.
In an attempt to stop people from touching wee-wees in the streets of Havana, Cuba have announced government-run short-stay hotels will open soon for people to try and stop them from, well, you know, how are we going to say this? Making feet for children's shoes out in the open. The only problem is that the cost of one of these rooms for a three-hour session of mattress dancing in their... Exactly. It's a lot of smoking. In their themed rooms is the equivalent of a month's wages in Cuba.
Well, this is a cracking idea. This is what they do in Japan. I've been to Japan a few times because this is my kind of country.
Is it?
You drive up to like a drive-through window.
Yep.
You book how long you want to stay in the room. And in the rooms, by the bed, they have vending machines. In Japan, they have vending machines everywhere.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Japan, because one other issue from this, the country that invented the three-hour rooting room, Japan,
yes,
and vending machines that punch out dirty knickers,
Japan... That's what I was going to say. That's true.
...has recently had a massive population decrease due to so few people over there bumping uglies.
Really?
Yeah. Now, figures show births in Japan fell below 1 million newborns last year for the first time ever.
Wow. That's interesting.
There you go.
Keep informed when you listen to this podcast.
That's what you come here for. Stats.
Yeah.
Stats.
I've got heaps of used undies over there in the corner. They're not from Japan. I just haven't washed.
They're stiff ones too. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Two people, including a man wielding what is believed to be a toy gun, have been shot by police at a fancy dress swingers party in Melbourne in the early hours of, I think it was Saturday morning.
You love a fancy dress party.
Well, at this point in time, I'd like to refer to last week's Grab a Mirrors by me.
Yes.
About adult fancy dress parties. This is what you get. You get one in the guts from the coppers.
Yep.
Now, no patron at the event came to us to inform our security or staff of any concern, but apparently someone made an anonymous 000 call to police, said the owner of, I think it's called Insatiable Nightclub.
Oh, nice.
Reports the weapon was actually a toy gun are being investigated by police.
Yeah.
The man was dressed as the Joker from the Batman films, and the venue's staff said a toy gun was part of his costume.
Mm-hmm.
Police called on the male, and the male took the firearm from his pants and aimed it at police, she said. That's the police commissioner said that. A number of shots were fired by police. Police options were used, and he was shot in the guts.
What police options were used other than they shot him in the guts?
It's back to the old days in Victoria. The old bang, stop or I'll shoot.
Look, I heard that he'd already shot that woman in the face before police arrived. Is this true?
Well, inflation owner Martha Tsamas said the victim was not holding anything in his hand, but was instead in a compromising position with the woman.
There's more to this story, I think.
What's a compromising position with a woman, Sid?
Don't know, I haven't had that for a while.
Over the vacuum cleaner? Now, are you telling me that adult dress-up parties are actually swingers' parties?
Yeah, are you interested now, are you?
I'm going to have to rethink last week's grab of mirrors. And actually, here's an early grab of mirror to form a legend for being the only bloke who didn't know what was going on at Sid's 40th a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you weren't invited.
Now, remember Cock Rock from Norway?
Well, I do, because it's here on the running sheet.
For those not sure...
It wasn't a highlight of our podcast history, but go on.
For those not sure, the rock that looked like a massive penis in Norway...
Not that massive.
...had been vandalised by some absolute savage with a drill, tipping a woman, making the huge schlong fall to the ground. Well, good news, Sid.
Yeah.
Cock Rock is back.
Yeah, I'm glad.
It's currently being restored to its former morning glory after an internet funding page paid for the massive bed flute to be put back in its original proud state.
This is what the internet's for.
Well, there's actually a live feed on the internet where you can watch the work going on as a team reattaches the massive lady sword. Although for those who get a bit squirmish watching surgery, this one mightn't be for you.
Yeah, good point.
Now, isn't it amazing what they can do these days, Sid? I mean, once you would have thought that the glory days were over, that massive clam hammer. But now we have the technology to reattach a severed beef bayonet. And you always wonder in these sorts of things, will the giant custard launcher be able to do everything it was able to do before it was lopped off?
Did you just want to do this bit so you could throw in all these names?
So good work to everyone involved in getting the massive bed bat back to its former state. And a big... A big boo to Mother Earth, who apparently asked workers if she could add a couple of inches to it before they reattached it.
What a great story. And they live stream this work.
Yeah.
They live stream all sorts of shit nowadays.
Rubbish. Just crap. Yep. What a waste of internet space. If it's not porn, it's not nothing. One-time pop star and current pain in the ass on The Voice, Delta Goodrum, has reportedly lost her license for multiple speeding offences.
Pop star. I'm doing those air things.
I bet she wishes her album sales were going as fast as a car does.
I love Delta Goodrum.
Do you?
Yeah, she's hot. You just watch her with the mute button pressed.
Jeez, I reckon Shifty'd be filthy on you right now.
Really? What's wrong, Shifty?
The 32-year-old. Shifty's got his eyes on Delta.
Shifty's got his eyes on two chicks at once. Have you seen him?
Got punter's eyes.
Yep.
One each way. The 32-year-old planned to contest two speeding offences on Tuesday, but had a last-minute change of heart, Sid, the Daily Telegraph has reported. Don't you wish she just turned up to court just so the magistrate could turn his chair on her and go, yeah, no, I won't be.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Hopefully she turns this tragedy into a song. That'd be great.
Prefer she didn't. All right, is this where we leave Facebook
yes.
Live? Is this where we're going?
Tune in tomorrow to our podcast.
Download
for
on
more glory like this. Thanks to all those who tuned in. We'll see. If you like this, we might do it again next week. Let's go to the news.
All right, it's good to get rid of that Facebook riffraff.
Yeah, can I take my life jacket off now?
No, I think it's going to rain. Leave it on.
Okay.
Origin 3 news, Sid, and we'll start with... Cameron Munster is set to make his debut at number 6, giving it an all-storm spine.
Yeah, I tend to agree that that's a good thing, having an all-storm spine, which is not easy to say. But I've made my thoughts very clear on this subject. I believe DCE should be there. Morgan's a great player in form.
Cameron Munster must be in some sort of form to keep...
Sorry, Munster, I mean,
the best halfback in the league out of a position at the moment. No pressure or anything. Don't think about it too much. Anyway. Andrew Fifita has revealed the shocking sledges from Queensland.
Oh, this was horrible.
In Origin 2 were from Josh Maguire, who said words to the effect of, excuse my language here, we knew you were shit. That's right, we knew you were shit. Sorry to those at home. And the other one was, you're effing overrated.
Yeah, wow. Now I understand why he was so upset.
Mm.
Maguire said to him, you, sir, are very overrated, to which Fifita replied, well, I reject your assertion and I feel I am rated accordingly. This is heavy stuff, man. No wonder he was pissed off.
Oh, I feel bad for him.
Yeah, embarrassing.
Yeah.
Who cares what was said out there?
Mate.
Wake up to yourself.
And Andrew Fifita, of all people. Of all people.
Of all people.
I mean, fair dinkum.
I know.
Billy Slater FKL. Has injured himself at training. I'm doing those air quotes.
Yeah, yeah, I'll do them for you. There you go.
He was injured at training and had to be taken off by medical cart.
I think State of Origin trainers should grab a mirror. The amount of injuries they have in the lead up to these games, wow. It's horrible.
New South Wales are still sweating on Captain Boyd Cordner being fit and ready to go.
I believe they've just announced we're not as good at Queensland at this game. They've announced, no, he is going to play. Like, duh.
He should go over in the captain's run and get taken off on a stretcher again.
Yeah. That'll trick him.
Jonathan Thurston refused to say this week that he wouldn't come back to Origin if Kevvy Walters needed him next year. Meanwhile, quietly in the background, you could hear DCE sobbing.
Yeah, I bet. This is like Paul Gallen's retirement.
John Farnham.
Jimmy Barnes. All of them. Nah, I'm done. Wait a minute. Might not be done.
I'm good. All right. Any other news you want to touch on before we go into who do you think is going to win and why?
No. Are you springing this on me? Who's going to win?
Who do you think is going to win?
I think... Do you want me to give the score as well?
Go on.
I think New South Wales are going to win. I'm scared that we're going to cock it up. But I think looking at the teams, I think New South Wales will win 24-10.
24-10?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I just think we're a better team. We had one half that was horrible. I think we're a better team. We can go up there and we can dominate.
I'm sick of hearing this. We've had three better halves than them. The one thing I will say is we've lost Origins having five worse minutes than them.
Oh, exactly.
Series, that is, not just halt one game. Yeah,
and it is up there.
And
it is
up
a tough
there.
Ask.
And everything else. My heart is saying New South Wales 16 points to 14 in a thriller.
Yeah.
Who have you got for man of the match?
I have got Fifita. He'll get man of the match.
You're red hot. I hope, yep. Hope no one abuses him out there.
I know.
Go to water. Man of the match for me, James Maloney.
Yeah, I toyed with Maloney.
I said this on radio today. James Maloney, I think, will be man of the match.
Hang on. Listen to you. Oh, yeah, I said this on radio. Whatever. I live streamed earlier in my outfit.
Said it on radio. I called in John Laws. first try scorer.
First try scorer will be Dugan.
Interesting.
And then he might just lay there injured.
Went the other way. I went Jared Hayne.
Yeah. It's all New South Wales in our
It
tips.
Is all New South yep. Wales, and that's some say we were biased. It's fair
we
enough.
Are, yeah.
Yeah, it's fair enough. A couple of early grab and mirrors.
Why are we doing early grab and mirrors?
Well, they're State of Origin related, and I couldn't prune it from 2000 down to 10 tonight. So
okay. We're not going to have equal 10 five times.
Still a chance.
Okay.
But we'll start with Adsos, at Adsos, who wrote, grab a mirror my missus for booking a hair appointment on the same night as Origin 3. Now I'll be home with the kids instead of watching at the pub. # grounds for divorce. Me and Sid have been talking about this, Adsos.
Yes.
We will offer you a lounge at half a week at a time if you want to come and stay at our place after
Absolutely.
You kick the divorce off.
Yeah.
Second up.
Get rid of her.
She's got to go, honestly. We've been saying it for a long time, Adsos, yeah. If we're honest. We don't talk behind your back.
We've never met you before,
she's
but
no good.
We've thought this.
Dubstan wrote, grab a mirror in New South Wales if they don't George Pell style tomorrow night.
Oh, wow. How did that get in?
We might beep that out.
That's what he said. Yeah.
That'll do. All right, let's get on to this. NRL news. And after 14 months, police have revealed there is no evidence from the investigation into Manly players
really?
On match fixing or spot betting. But then on the way out the door, they threw a hand grenade by saying that there may have been evidence of illegal payments to players to dodge the salary cap.
This is a weird story, man. We've heard about this for a while now. This is the
it's still, just gone nowhere.
This is the elephant in the room, and it already sounds like it will be swept under the carpet. This is a throw off.
Paul Kent, who I make no hesitation saying I admire what he does.
Who's that?
Paul Kent.
Yeah,
and he said, "Why are the police even commenting on this?"
Well, that's an interesting point.
It's got nothing to do with them.
Yeah,
about brown paper bag. I mean. Outside of tax avoidance, there is no illegality in how you get paid.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I just don't get it.
That's, again, like I always say, where there's smoke, there's fire. I don't understand this.
The NRL Nines will no longer be, well, at least for 2018 at the very least, according to the Daily Telegraph.
it won't exist at all.
Not next year, no. Because of the World Cup, they're saying that it's just going to be a cluttered schedule, and in the interest of players, and probably so it'll be one less thing they can strike from.
Yeah, or spot bet on. Can I ask you a question? They've been toying with the fact that they will move this from Auckland and they'll throw it around the country, which I think is a good idea. And let me go on record as saying, I think the grand final should be the same. What do you reckon?
You're an idiot.
Okay.
No, I disagreed entirely.
Go on.
For various reasons, but no, I like the fact that we play the grand final in Sydney. Some will say, well, we have a Melbourne team, we have a Canberra team, we have a Brisbane team. I don't care. The fact is, we can fit 85,000 people in a stadium. It's a celebration of the game, and it should be in the biggest stadium in the land if we're going to sell it out. If we start having empty seats, like 20,000 empty seats, then yeah, fair enough, look at it. But while we're filling that stadium to close to capacity, I see no reason. Melbourne don't move the AFL. They stick it in the MCG and never will move it.
Yeah, but we're a bigger game than AFL.
But so, yeah, no, I disagree. I think it should stay where it is. The Nines, and if you want to move a game, in my opinion, move the third Origin every year. So have one in New South Wales, one in Brisbane, and then have the third
in a
rotating system.
Yeah.
Go to Adelaide, because Adelaide seems to be keen on the game at the moment.
Bodies in a Barrel Stadium.
Bodies in a Barrel Stadium. Go over to FIFO Stadium when it gets opened up over in Perth.
GM Cold.
Take it over. No, I wouldn't get GM Cold, but I'd go over to New Zealand. Yeah. And so it's on a neutral territory, or go to MCG.
Yeah.
So they're or Singapore. I know they're keen.
Or Campbelltown Sports Ground.
Love a game up there at Singapore. But yeah, no.
Oh, where did John Rebo say it'll be in
China.
Yeah.
I don't think the I don't think the accent's necessary.
Okay. Was that a little racist?
Unless you're ordering food. Yeah, so no, I disagree about moving the grand final, but moving the third state of origin, I'm happy for that. That
yeah,
means
good idea.
One home and...
And moving the Nines. Can we all agree on that?
Yeah, well, they've moved the Nines of 2019.
Yeah, I didn't mean for them to move it that far. But anyway.
Anthony Griffin has come out this week and said in an interview with the Daily Telegraph that anyone who thought Penrith were a title chance in 2017 know nothing about rugby league.
Well, I think it's about time Griffin had a rest. This is a dead set. Oh, he's looking very tired. This is a dead set joke. Was this their catchphrase when they were selling membership packs in the off season?
We're no chance in 2017.
Know nothing about rugby league? Join the Panthers as we struggle through 2017. This is that's a stupid thing to say.
That is a bloke under the pump.
Yeah, I actually haven't written me under the pump, so
you can use that if you want. But that's all it can be. It's just deflection, surely. There are good judges out there who've put Penrith right up there in the title. I know, I think, there were two of the Triple M team who are good heads about football.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, they said a Penrith-Canberra grand final.
Yeah, well, they were two that I said would be right up there. I'm no judge.
I need Ricky to come out and say, if you said Canberra were going to make the grand final, you're a dead set dickhead.
This is the thing. Like, he's run out of excuses.
Yeah.
Yep. Like everyone's asking why, what the problem is, and he's just like, you know what?
We're still
you
rebuilding.
You don't know shit about league.
We're rebuilding. It's been a 5-year plan. It's 5-year plus tax.
Yes.
Weeks and weeks of play the ball infringements reached a crescendo as George Burgess was allowed to play the ball while facing the sidelines.
Right in front of the ref,
too. It had many commentators up in arms, and we'll surely see a review of the current turning of blind eyes to this rule.
Yeah, it's the
that was embarrassing.
Oh, the play the ball's going the way of the scrum. It's a joke. That was particularly bad.
I was watching it in pub.
Yeah.
And you've never seen blokes stop like they did when George Burgess played the ball. Blokes stopped playing the poker machines and called out. It was a terrible.
It's bad enough they don't even attempt to touch the ball with their foot.
Yeah.
I get that. That's been a thing for a while now. I don't agree with it. But it is a thing.
Mm.
But fair dinkum, you got to face straight up.
They say that the reason that they haven't been going too hard on it is because of the wrestle. The play the ball is slow enough. It is by making them play the ball properly, it slows it down even further.
Yeah.
So teams like Melbourne, who are good wrestlers, will get a further advantage.
I'd say get rid of the wrestle before you start playing
very
touch
hard.
Footy at
Melbourne.
Ball.
Melbourne now got to the point where they've learned to wrestle while standing on the feet, which is very clever. But
I think it was Bellamy came out this week saying, "I'm sick of the wrestle and slow play the balls."
What? I love how he said it without even didn't even flinch in his face.
No, not playing poker with that bloke.
Piece of brilliance. Other news this week, just a quick one. Melbourne Storm have hit 20,000 members.
Yeah, I saw this and I wasn't that impressed by it, if
really?
I'm honest. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Like, I just bought tickets to the 49ers over in the States because I'm going over there. Hang on, mate.
I'll just pick up those names you dropped.
Yeah, there's a few more names. Just bear with me. I'm going to Vegas as well. But anyway, they sell out all their seats years in advance, and then they've got a ballot, or not a ballot system. They go through Ticketek. If you can't turn up, you put your tickets on there.
Right.
So they're talking tens of thousands. I would have thought a team like Melbourne that's been so red hot. I know it's in Melbourne, but 20,000 to me, I think rugby league can do a lot better than that. And I know they have been better the last few years.
Well, they're pretty impressive when you compare to many Sydney clubs.
Yeah, I think West Tigers are up around 15,
but we are strong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're strong, especially this year.
No, membership-wise. I thought that was a pretty big figure.
Yeah, I just think we should be... I've got a West Tigers membership this year for only 3 games. That's what they're doing now. They're making it more affordable, but a full membership at some of these clubs is big money.
Yeah, yeah.
They got to look at it to boost those numbers. I'm not impressed by 20,000, put it that way.
Yeah, I am. Sid's dad, Buzz Rothfield, wrote a story in the Sunday Telegraph declaring the Roosters will play 6 to 8 games next year at Venta Mocha on Himalayan Yaks Milk Stadium, with more games going to Central Coast, bodies in a barrel, and also the new stadium at Parramatta.
Yeah, well, I think they should be relocated to Adelaide.
Bodies in a barrel.
Yeah.
Jeez, you put some paper bags in barrels. How many brown paper bags did you fit in there?
Brown paper barrels.
All right, let's have a look at the whole round in review. Round 18 was blue seat round, and Friday night, how many fans went dressed as blue seats?
It was amazing.
What
it was a sea of blue
effort
out there.
Congratulations to all involved. Todd Greenberg, you are a genius. I reckon there would have had to have been 20,000 fans dressed as blue plastic seats.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Unbelievable.
The only way they would have got more fans out there in blue would have been if they played it at ANZ.
Well, either that or if they got more chairs in.
There should have been a push to go out there.
And understrength Roosters were still too strong for the Rabbitohs at Long Macchiato on lactose-free Rice Milk Stadium, winning 14 points to 12.
Is the name of that stadium getting longer each week?
It's getting tougher to say, I'll give you the real tip. I have to stay sober for that game, then I can move on. In a game that would go closer to winning the gold medal for shit rugby league games, the Bunnies made bigger mistakes at bigger stages of the game to shoot themselves in the foot. Mad Hatter and Jigsaw from the former Legend Backyard Stats Lab tell us that on paper, this game was an even split. 50-50 possession, completion rates around 75% for both teams, a 10-9 error count, and both teams had exactly 50% of their fans fall asleep during the second half.
Yes, this was a low game.
Yeah.
I have to give Gus Gould a rap. He said after the game, it won't happen again, don't worry. He said after the game that Souths didn't turn up for an arm wrestle in this match. And he is 100% true.
Yeah.
That's how the Roosters wanted to play it. That's how the Roosters did play it. And he said by the time the Bunnies realised that they have to dig in and put the fancy stuff away, it was too late. And that is 100% what happened.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yep.
Souths were very, very disappointing. But they have been disappointing since they won the comp.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like the whole Coogee lifestyle has got ahead of them. And I think they're more rock stars than they are rugby league players these days
in a lot of cases.
After the game, the Roosters hooker, Jake Friend, was lauded for his 80-minute efforts in this one. 61 tackles and 2 try assists.
61 tackles.
Made him man of the match. It might be indication of the quality of the game that Friend's other stats, running metres of 3 and missed tackles of 4, were overlooked when giving out the giant novelty check at the end of the game.
It's his 4 missed tackles, 61 good tackles.
Three,
that's still pretty good.
3 running metres. I mean, Mitch Moses was the only one who stood up and applauded.
Mate, I wouldn't be able to run more than 3 metres after I've made 65 tackle attempts.
You are. If you put a donut at the end of the field.
Have you ever seen me run for a donut? Jeez,
you get
I'm quick.
40 out easy.
She's on quick over 4 metres.
It might be all over Red Rover for the Bunnies in 2017. Sid.
Good.
They've won just 6 games and lost 10 and now face the Sharks, Raiders and Dragons on the way in.
Yep.
On the other side of Anzac Parade, the Roosters have bounced back somewhat from having their pants pulled down by the Sharks. They're comfortably in the top 4 and now have a week off before facing Knights, Cowboys and Seagulls.
Yeah, even if Souths are a mathematical chance, they don't deserve to be in the semis. And the Roosters, with four players out for this game, that's a good win for them.
Yeah, it is a good win.
Against their arch rivals.
Saturday, why do they put that game in?
I only said that just to annoy you.
Saturday night, Penrith were too strong for the Seagulls out at the Pig. The final score in this one was 14-4.
That wasn't the score.
That was the penalty count.
Yeah, what a disgrace.
It was the biggest disparity in penalty counts all year, and Trent Barrett blew up after the game when asked if he will speak to refs boss Tony Archer on Monday about the uneven penalty count. Barrett replied, "What do you even say? How are you going to win a game with a 14-4 penalty count? I've never seen anything like it ever." For those playing at home, the final score was 16-8.
Yes, it was absolutely disgraceful. It was a 9-2 penalty count at halftime against the Eagles. That Joaquin Zalesniak try was a blatant no try.
It was too.
He stole the ball from his own player. He was in front of him. Then there was even a question of whether he grounded it, and the video ref's like, "Yeah, we're happy with the take. Yeah, we're happy with the grounding." So, really?
Yeah. While brother Jake Trbojevic is tied up with Origin duties, it's only a matter of time before New South Wales find a spot for his brother Tom.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Now, Headlock and Death Row from the former Legion Backyard Stats Lab have highlighted. He's a good bloke, Headlock. strong yeah. upper arms. Have highlighted his efforts in this game. 180 running metres, 9 tackles and a line break and a try shows how close he must be to a sky blue jersey.
Yeah, well, they're better stats than Tedesco, who was just sitting on the bench watching. Was he even at the game? Does he even turn up anymore?
He gets injured celebrating tries these days.
Trbojevic, he's excellent. He's a big lad and he runs hard. Those stats are amazing. Thanks, Headlock.
And, of course, Death Row. It was the first time in 2017 that Penrith have been able to beat a top eight side, and the seventh time in 8 starts that they've beaten the Seagulls. To keep the top
eight, interesting.
To keep the top eight in sight, the Panthers have to keep on winning, and the next few weeks will be interesting as they face the Warriors, Titans, and Dogs. 3 games you'd bank on the Penrith boys winning if they're going to make any sort of run at the title. Although,
well, if anyone thinks that they can win any of those games, they simply do not know football.
The other game on Saturday was the Young Storm fill-ins, and they had a bit of the wind sucked from their sails as the Eels comfortably knocked them over 22 points to 16 at Rhondda and Kitut. One of the highlights from the Origin period has been the names of the future unearthed by the Storm.
Yes.
Players like Brodie Croft, Riley Jacks, Jarome Hughes, Curtis Scott and Slade Griffin show that they are good in good hands while Ever Bellyache is still coaching.
Yes.
But in this game, they're exposed to the perils of a bad start to a game as they fell 16-0 down after just 20 minutes. When you take the final score into consideration, 22-16.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said that Eels comfortably knocked them over.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, fair enough. But
Melbourne were in this.
If you expected Bellamy to go easy on the young blokes after the game, you're wrong. He said, and I quote, "When we got ourselves back in the game, we were 6-all for 50 minutes of that game. We can do it. We, or some of us, didn't choose to do it from the start of the game," he said.
Yeah. Well, full credit to the boys' very own Nate Miles. Had a post-match interview on Fox, not sure if you saw this, and he gave an insight into Bellyache's methods, being his first game down there.
Right.
Bellyache said to him when he came down to Melbourne, "You better put in, because I don't want to play you in reserves, but I will." He doesn't pull any punches on Bellyache.
Just so subtle.
Yeah.
That
was an excellent interview, actually, with Miles.
Yeah.
He spoke well. And he said, partly that was my fault. I should have put in better. So expect him to be in reserve grade next week.
If you want to talk about outstanding stats, Semi Radradra had a game and a half in this one. Now, according to Snake Eyes and Stab Happy from the former Legion Backyard Stats Lab, he ran a whopping 201 metres from 20 runs, made 4 line breaks and a meat pie.
Yep.
Now, if you back him up with his other two backmen, and Clint Gutherson, who ran 182 metres.
Clint Gutherson is my new favourite player.
And Bevan French, who ran 120 metres, the Eels back three can really be a potent mix.
Yes, I was watching Radradra closely because he's in my super coach team, which you know a lot about. And Radradra made Vunivalu look second rate in that first 20 minutes or so, or however long it was till Vunivalu got binned.
Yep.
He was at his best in that first half. But in the second half, because I was watching so closely, the Eels actually ran to their right side more often, which surprised me because Radradra was on the left and he was braining them.
Mm. if there's a team outside of the top four that might be able to give the title a shake, it just could be the Eels. Obviously, you need things to go your way, but the Eels have a pretty impressive back line. Their halves are getting their shit together.
Yes.
And with forwards like Nathan Brown finding some form, well, it's not impossible that they could be there at the pointy end of the season.
Oh, that's where you let yourself down, saying pointy end of the season. I hate that.
Put it this way.
Yeah.
You probably won't want to play them in the back end of the year if you don't have to.
Oh, definitely. I would agree with that. Nathan Brown had another great game. And can I say again, every time Mitch Moses has a good game, people don't need to tweet me to point it out. He should be playing that well in a fucking Tigers jersey, but he chose to tank and carry on like a spoilt brat. And that is what has pissed me off. He can play. He's a good player.
When Sid says he feels like it. When Sid says you don't need to tweet him, what he means by that is keep tweeting him. He loves it.
Yeah, and add at Normie Dorrell.
On Sunday, the Bulldogs beat the Knights in the final 5 minutes at Halal Snack Pack Stadium, winning 20 points to 18.
Mate, this was some kind of game. I don't even know.
It was a strange game.
I don't know how to explain it, but it was a game.
Well, it was a game billed as Josh Reynolds' farewell to Belmore, which was a real sad occasion considering he'd played there four times before. And he'll be training there this week.
What a massive farewell.
But all that aside,
they carried him off like Steve Mortimer.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Look what we done. We beat the team that have won two games in 1 year.
Just.
Oh, what a celebration.
Well, let's carry you off because you gave away a penalty and nearly lost it for us.
Everyone run on the field.
You poor bugger that's going over for $1 million this season.
Oh, he could.
That was bizarre.
Wouldn't be able to wait to get out of the door, would he?
They were dead set celebrating like they won the grand final. The Tigers towed up the Knights last week. That's not a big thing.
Well, I'm about to say that.
Oh, go on.
All that aside, this game was like a scripted fairy tale. The Dogs were down by 10 points with just 5 minutes to go, but Marcelo Montoya, his try in the 75th minute. And then
Marcelo Montoya.
What a name.
Oh, I love that name.
His try in the 75th minute. Then a Moses and by try from a charger in the 79th minute had the Dogs fans in raptures as the Bulldogs beat the last place team in the final 2 minutes to go from 14th to 13th on the table. The result also had Nathan Brown looking for some scotch and sleeping tablets.
Well, Brock Lamb snatched defeat from the jaws of victory in this one. He tried to kick that last penalty into Westfield Hurstville car park, shanking it. What were you going to say? You're slapping me here like I stole your thunder.
Well, you did.
Okay. I think I would have said it better.
Going into halftime, if you didn't know what the score was, you'd have guessed the Dogs were up 4-1. They dominated all the possession and had the Knights at 6s and 7s, yet they could only piece together 1 try and 2 goals. And on the stroke of halftime, the Knights crossed the line to close the gap to 2 points. Once again, the evidence of shit Dogs attacking style was there for all to see.
Yep.
In fact, Sid, going through the records this year, the last time the Dogs scored more than 3 times in a game was in early April.
Yeah, that's a bizarre stat.
They're just terrible. They're clunky. They're horrible.
Yep.
And they can't blame Lysha because he wasn't there.
That's right.
They sat him down.
Are you still blaming Lysha?
Yeah, he was sitting on the wrong end of the bench. Now, it would be remiss of us not to mention the shocker of a game that Brock Lamb had on Sunday.
Yeah, well, let's not be remiss. Let's cover it again. Go.
already on the end of a shocker, it was his kick that was charged down by Moses and Mbai that led to the game-winning try.
Yes.
The Knights were then handed a penalty after the bell.
This was just bizarre.
From a Josh Reynolds piece of Josh Reynolds play. And it was Lamb who stood up to take the kick to try and square the game up. But much like the rest of his afternoon, his attempt at a goal was a shocker, barely getting 5 feet in the air and heading hard right into Westfield's.
Oh, is that what you were going to say? I've ruined it for you.
It was a pretty rubbish game from the young bloke, but it's up to him now to be remembered, not on his game from that 80 minutes, but from how he bounces back from that game. Amazingly, one of the better goal kickers in the game in Trent Hodgkinson stood by and watched on as Lamb took the shot, which raised many eyebrows.
Yeah, what do you think that's about? Is his confidence gone?
Well, he's
been playing reserve grade.
He's carrying a leg injury, which I imagine has got something to do with it, but he then said after the game that he thought the penalty was from the 40-metre mark. As it was closer to the 30-metre mark. By the time he realised that, Lamb was already lining up, and he thought, I don't want to shake the young bloke's confidence.
What a bullshit story.
100%.
His leg's injured and his eyesight's poor.
100%. Anyway, stick around for Grab a Mirror. You'll hear a couple of other people comment on that.
Okay.
All right. casualty ward, and very quickly, Chase Blair from the Storm may miss the rest of the year with an ankle injury.
Yep.
That's it.
I've got another one. Have breaking you? News while you were just urinating out the door of the studio. Breaking news, Tim Simona is out for 18 months on a good behaviour bond for being an asshole. He just got sentenced.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, okay. Johnson, a
step back. For the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory. It's going to be Australia too.
Sports News.
AFL and the Swans absolutely hammered the Gold Coast Suns by plenty at the SCG, while unbelievably, the GWS Giants had a draw for the second week in a row, this time with Hawthorn down in Tasmania, Sid.
Yes, well, here's a stat from ShamWow down the backyard stats lab.
ShamWow, how is he going?
He's going really well.
He soaks up them stats.
Doesn't he?
If there's a spillage down there, you know they call out for
that's right.
ShamWow.
So here's a stat from ShamWow. The last time a VFL / AFL team had consecutive draws was in 1921 when Carlton had two straight in yep. rounds 4 and 5.
Who'd they draw with?
Not sure. I have to get ShamWow on the two-way. That's how we contact them. But the Blues that year, having two straight draws in round 4 and 5, went on to make the grand final but lost. So here's a tip from old Sib Punts. GWS will make the grand final, but they will lose.
There you go.
There you go. Put your hard-earned on it.
Cricket.
Gamble responsibly.
Sid.
Yes.
What have you got in common with Lancashire cricketer Shiv Thakur?
Well, I saw this on the running sheet, and I do have something in common.
Well, it seems you both have a love for that porn site, propertysex.com. You
know, that wasn't it.
You know, the one where blokes get around... Get shown some potential real estate by some smoking hot real estate agent.
Don't know
and
it.
And somehow end up banging her in the house.
Never watched it.
Well, just like you, Sid, yeah. Shiv Thakur loves this site, but unlike you just yet, it's ended him up in hot water. Yeah. As ESPN,
what's Thakur done?
Well, ESPN Crick Info says they understand the incident occurred when Thakur was being shown around a new house by a pair of female estate agents.
Yep.
It is alleged that he catastrophically misread the signals and was found in a bedroom in a state of undress.
How embarrassing.
It is understood that CCTV footage of some of the event exists.
Oh, no, it's footage.
Thakur.
Or inchage.
Thakur has been arrested, but is helping police with their inquiries.
Of course he is. He's been caught red-handed. I actually had this happen to me when I was in hospital once to get my wisdom teeth out. Can I tell this story?
Oh, I don't know.
In the middle of the night, the nurse comes in to do me obs, and she's dead set smoking hot. I don't know if she was hot or it was the 48,000 endone I was on, but she was hot. So she lifts my arm to take my blood pressure, and she just stares at me straight away and says, "Are you right?" So I'm grinning at her and said, "Yeah, I'm right. How are you going?" She's like, "Are you right?" I said, yeah, I'm right." I thought, I've seen this kind of caper in Penthouse Forum. I know these stories where the nurse comes in late at night. So I'm like, yeah, I'm all right. And then I'm starting thinking, am I right? Am I off my head? She's like, are you right? I'm like, okay, this has turned for the worst. I say, yeah, why? She's like, can you remove your hand from my breast?
And that's the story you run to the magistrate, is it? Or?
This is what I'm sticking to. I said, oh, sorry. So I took my hand off. Then the next lot of obs, an hour later, I woke up and this big fat gay guy comes in and says, how you going, Mr. Punts? Oh, yeah, good thanks, mate. Yeah. Anyway, that's my story.
Three more in, Dan. Well, how great would it be if Shiv Thakur ends up doing time, Sid?
Yeah, why?
Do you think he'll be known as the jail Shiv?
I like it.
Didn't you get in trouble a couple of years ago after you bought your own bang bus?
I don't even know what that means.
Because I know my court case is coming up about that ad I put in the Daily Telegraph asking for girls to come and apply to be in my new business of backroom casting.
You probably did too.
Boxing. The Manny Pacquiao camp and the Filipino government, I think that's one and the same thing,
yes,
have demanded a recount of the WBO officials of Manny Pacquiao's recent loss to Aussie school teacher Jeff Horn. Did you know he's a school teacher?
I had heard that. Yeah, he's from
once.
Brisbane.
I think I heard it once.
He's from Brisbane.
Queenslander, I believe.
Yeah.
a school teacher. Who'd have guessed?
Good on
you. Now, Jeff Horn has welcomed the boxing organization review that actually concluded today, that said he was still the true victor of the welterweight title fight against Manny Pacquiao.
What else were they going to say? They're not going to take it off him.
I spoke to a boxer today, true story.
Yeah.
And I said, why are they doing this? And he said, I don't even know. He said, they've already got an automatic rematch in the fight clause.
Yep.
He said, so I don't understand the point of this. He said, all it was going to do was tarnish the fight and tarnish Horn's name.
Exactly.
And he said, so what did he expect was going to happen? Then they're going to come back every time and say, no, it was good.
Yep. I actually was playing a gig when this fight was on. I read that morning that at the last they put in that clause.
Yep.
That if Horn won, there would be a rematch.
Yep.
And instantly I thought Horn is going to win. So why are they going to tarnish the rematch?
Yeah.
That's where they're going to make heaps more.
Yeah.
And when Pacquiao wins, there'll be a rematch for the rematch.
Well, possibly.
They're going to make a mozza.
Push bike riding. Australian tour.
Push bike riding.
Australian Tour de France title hope. Richie Porte has a fractured pelvis, a broken collarbone, extensive abrasions and shattered dreams. You like that? See what I've worked out?
I did see what you did.
Following
there,
a sickening crash at about 60 kilometres an hour, which obviously ended his race. Aren't these blokes incredible, Sid?
Not really.
I mean, the race includes 21 stages these days and covers 3,500 kilometres.
Yeah, but they're
drugged
up to it.
How can they do it? I mean, they go through 42,000 drink bottles, Sid.
Wow.
But no word on how many spikes.
Let's be careful here.
Ghetto picks, hypos.
I don't know what any of these things
hammer
are.
Hammer hooks.
We should go to the backyard.
Syringes, Sid.
The backyard stats lab would be able to give us a lot of stats on cycling.
No word on how many syringes are going through. One final stat from the Le Tour, Sid. While the great race is on, over 4.5 million dick hats from all around the world will use the word Peloton in sentences mostly unrelated to push bike riding.
Yeah, and I'm really Peloton about that. Did
tennis.
I use that right?
Tennis. Less than 24 hours after pulling out of Wimbledon with a sore hip, Nick Kyrgios was photographed with two women outside a London nightclub at 3 a.m. The two girls were later identified as 18-year-old tennis players Monique Balukovic and England's Chelsea Samways. It seems Samways' father was extremely unimpressed by the photos, telling the media that Samways is grounded.
Mm-hmm.
He also did his best Alf Stewart impersonation by saying that after he's seen the photos of Kyrgios and his daughter, that he wanted to knock him out, the flaming mongrel.
Yes. He also said she's banned from going into Yabby Creek for 2 months. Look, I don't know how I feel about this.
Can she still go to the surf club?
Everyone can go down to the surf club and the diner. That doesn't count.
Keep Alice's door swinging.
An ad for Home and Away came on the other night. My missus is like, is that shit still on? It is. Anyway, I don't know how I feel about this. Kyrgios is a dead set dickhead, but I've also put in a shit effort just so I can go nightclubbing till 3 o'clock in the morning. in most things in my life. I'm not an elite sportsman.
Tennis. 21-year-old Denny Medvedev upset number 5 Stan Wawrinka in the first round of Wimbledon, but his second round wasn't quite so successful. Medvedev grew visibly frustrated with the chair umpire's calls. In the fifth set, down 5-2, Medvedev demanded the umpire be replaced, but was denied so.
Is this fair income?
Following his 5-set defeat, Medvedev went to his wallet in his tennis bag and tossed coins at the chair of the umpire.
Is this fair income? Yeah. This is a real story.
100% true.
What's he throwing coins at the umpire for?
When he was asked why he did that, he said, I'm not sure. But surprise, surprise, it's not the first time Medvedev has made headlines for being a pretentious dickhead. During a tournament last year, Medvedev faced American Donald Young, who was a black player, and claimed that umpire Sandy French was assisting Young in the match because of their similar skin colour.
No.
As he passed by French during the match, he reportedly told her under his breath, I know you two are friends, I'm sure about it.
Well, it's probably true. All black people are friends. They all know each other.
Tennis. In an absolute shock to anyone with...
How much tennis news are we doing?
Well, it's Wimbledon. In an absolute shock to anyone with less than 2 brain cells, Bernard Tomic was bundled out in just over an hour.
You mean he lost?
Who knew? In the first round of Wimbledon. After the match, Tomic was fined $15,000 for saying he was a little bored during his 6-4, 6-3, 6-4 loss. No more bored than people who bought tickets to the...
Absolutely.
to Misha Zverev. I mean, oh, I didn't realise. He's a heavyweight.
Lost to a big name.
Lost to a heavyweight. And that he no longer respected tennis enough or cared how he fared at the Grand Slams. Since then, he has lost head as his racket sponsor. I don't think he's getting much head either. And his father, John, told News Corp, "He's my son and I love him, but I'm ashamed at how he's approaching his business. It's not good for what he's doing." Tommy Sr. then went on to say, "There are a lot of haters and sharks, legends of tennis, who want to destroy Bernard." Not that it's too hard to destroy him on the court these days, Sid.
Bernard Sr. just let himself down with that last part. Nobody wants to destroy Bernard as much as Bernard does.
Yeah.
What these blokes don't realise, Aussie fans are very forgiving. Even though Kyrgios and the giant head that is Bernard Tomic, it's a good sponsorship actually, him having head. Aussie fans will back these blokes, even though they're assholes, if they start winning, or at least if they have a dig.
We all came around to Hewitt. No one liked him in his early stages. He was a real dickhead.
But
once he started winning, we were like, not a bad kid.
But even not even winning, they just got to have a dig.
Yeah.
He sits there and says, "Oh, I was bored." Really?
Yeah.
Asshole.
Rugby Union. The British Lions and All Blacks played an epic 15-all draw and in turn tied their series at one win each, some describing it as the best rugby series in history.
I know, I was glued to my set.
To balance this story out, the Waratahs lost to the Argentinian Jaguars in Super Rugby. It was the 11th straight loss to an overseas team for the Waratahs, who conceded 40 or more points for the fourth time in their past five games. Further to this, I read something on Twitter. Now, I don't know if this is true.
If it was on Twitter, it must be true.
Secondhand information. But I believe the Waratahs now no longer publicise the crowd numbers at their games.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There was a lot of people dressed as blue suits most of their home games.
All right, Sid, it's time for this. Time for podcasting's number one segment in all of iTunes podcast charting segments.
And we have actually checked that. That is not entirely true.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Grab a mirror. Men's Health magazine, Sid.
Okay, why?
They are the biggest perpetuator of bullshit since Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin.
I like that. I love a good conspiracy theory.
Six-pack abs. Gym-free abs.
Yep.
Superhero abs.
Yep.
18-day abs. With photos of blokes like The Rock or Hugh Jackman or Chris Hemsworth on the cover. Funny how all these blokes who make a living based off the way they look, the blokes who get paid squillions of dollars to look the business for the next $20 million contract, who get products thrown at them, who can employ a chef, a personal trainer, a masseuse and a physio full time. Funny how they're the ones that found the key to building a better beach body, Sid. If you bought a copy of Men's Health in year 2000 because you saw the headline, "Hard Muscle, Fast and Easy."
Which I did.
Well, sleep easy knowing that you'll never have to buy another edition of this bullshitting bile ever again, since it's the same crap articles being printed 20 years later. Get shredded in 4 weeks. Rip your core, your shirt off muscle plan. Fuck off. What about their fashion tips, Sid? You too can look good in this $4,000 Hugo Boss piece. Three-piece suit.
Yeah.
No shit, Sherlock.
Mate, if I'm spending $3,000 on a suit, I certainly better not look like a bloke who's been in the lows before he represents himself at court on a Peeping Tom charge. And don't forget to couple your new Hugo Boss suit with these new Salvador Ferragamo leather sliders available at all pretentious asshole shoe shops for just $650. And why not spoil yourself with this Tag Heuer Carrera Calibre vintage watch, a steal at just $3,500. And did you say you need relationship advice, Sid?
Yes, I do.
Oh, don't panic, Tubby, because Men's Health have handy rooting tips in the bucket loads. Daring sex, when and where she wants it, in the bum at midnight, not much would be the answer to those questions, Sid. Please with these 8 cunning bedroom moves. Here's a tip. If you're ripped like The Rock and you're travelling well enough to be buying Hugo Boss suits, Tag Heuer watches and those French shoes, you can be the biggest dud root in history, Sid. It ain't going to matter shit. Mate, kick back, lay on your back, point at your stiffy and whisper, "I'll tell you when you're done, honey." That's about all the cunning bedroom moves you're going to need. Now, hopefully now that Rebel Wilson has pumped a couple of million out of Women's Day for printing bullshit stories, she's got time to move on to men's health. There's a 30-year history of crap bullshit and, well, basically more crap, Sid, in between their covers. So grab a mirror, Men's Health magazine. Grab a mirror and check yourself out. You're not the male model you think you are.
That is a sensational rant, my friend.
I hope everyone got it. There's a couple of bits in the middle there that didn't work out.
You got a little excited. But that's okay. Can I have a go? I don't want to have a go now. How can I follow that?
I'm going to wipe the spit off this iPad.
Grab a mirror. Anyone who live streams on Facebook. No one cares what you're doing.
No one cares
what you're doing or what you're wearing. No one cares. Just because some technology exists doesn't mean we should use it. The internet was invented for a global source of information and porn. I'll give that to you. It's also for porn. Should not be used for dickhat internet whores to show off their podcast, their home studio that they built with their own hands and is rather impressive. But grab a mirror.
Or their massive physiques. Their beach bodies, ripping abs and hot rod core or whatever it is.
I read Men's Health this week and they said, do not go out in public in a life vest. And I think they said it adds 10 pounds. And I think we've seen proof of that this this evening.
What about stack hats? They're still right, aren't they?
So grab a mirror, you media whores. Get off it.
Equal 10. At MadHat74 says, grab a mirror, Craig Bellamy, for coaching players to wrestle and slow the play the ball down, then complaining when players get coached to wrestle and slow the play the ball down. Hashtag grab a mirror, hashtag dickhat.
That is exactly what I said earlier.
Equal 10. Sleeve of Wizard says, grab a mirror, Bernie Tomic. You say Wimbledon is one of the biggest tournaments in the world. I'm yet to see one bigger. You deny not giving your best effort, saying I couldn't find anything. But inexplicably, I bet you still find dollars in your bank account. Fucked if I know who's stupid enough to pay you. But hey, it isn't the only reason people think you're a prick.
How did he fit all of that in 149 characters?
Screenshot, my friend. Screenshot.
Oh, I love a screenshot. Why do we still have equal tens when we did grab a mirrors earlier?
Equal 10.
Another equal 10.
At Ron de Paradise says, grab a mirror at Brock Lamb 6.
Ah. Uh-oh. Here we go.
And take a good...
Oh, he put at Brock Lamb 6 in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This is awkward.
And take a good hard look at yourself.
Oh.
Then remember, chin up. You'll kick the next one. Hashtag give the Knights a bloody break.
Somebody tweeted out during the week that the last time Newcastle and Canterbury played at Belmore Oval, Terry Lamb kicked a field goal to lose 12-11. And they tweeted, no lambs should kick at all at Belmore.
Sunday lambs aren't very nice at Belmore.
What number are we up to now?
Equal
another
10.
At LVO5 said, grab a mirror, Hodkinson. Take the penalty. Don't give it to a 20-year-old. You're the senior half on 650,000 plus and call yourself the Iceman. Hashtag fuck nugget.
I like the hashtag fuck nugget, but that was that's 100% true. I have no idea why he did not take that kick, apart from his poor eyesight that we established earlier.
Equal
10.
At Dan C. 2527.
Can I just ask, how many more equal 10s are there going to be?
10.
Everyone's a winner.
At Dan C. 2527, or Danny Boy with two Ys. I don't know why. Grab a mirror. The guys in the former... Grab a mirror. The guys in the full credit to the boys' backyard stats lab for releasing a video showing how easy it is to get phones and weapons into... work.
Very good. Very good.
9.
Oh, thank God we're on number 9.
At JV2503 Lewis. Jeez. Said, grab a mirror, Meow Ludo Disco Gamma.
What?
Do you know who that is?
Oh, I do know who this is, actually. But go on.
He's the guy. He's a Sydney biohacker.
Yes.
That had a Opal card.
That's right.
Inserted into his skin. And he says, grab a mirror, Meow Ludo Disco Gamma. When giving yourself this name, is it not enough you implant an opal chip in your card? Why? Better news for Meow Ludo Disco Gamma. I read an article today. Guess what?
What?
Opal putt cards are being phased out.
Loser.
You fucking dickhead.
Eat.
At Sports BFs. Do you know who that is?
No.
It's another podcast. Oh. That's the Biggest Tigers podcast. If you want to have a listen, I don't know what it's like, but subscribe,
we will listen. Yeah, subscribe, unsubscribe 536 times.
But he said, grab a mirror bottle shops that don't have a beer on special. How am I supposed to choose one if they're all the same expensive price?
Exactly. That's how I pick my beer.
But further news in the beer world.
Yes.
We might have some news in the beer world for...
Are you going to announce?
No, not yet.
Yeah, good.
All right. But,
let's move on.
Something. Yeah. Where are we up to?
Seven.
Okay, seven. At Spazbus.
I've never heard of Spazbus. Welcome aboard the Spazbus.
It says, grab a mirror, Tomic. I put in more effort typing this for free than he did to earn 35,000K.
That is a sensational point, Spazbus.
You've hit the ground running, Spazbus.
We love you.
Six.
Ryan T. Jansen said, grab a mirror, people who complain about the products I use in pest control because of asthma, but have a cigarette dangling out of their gobs. And then he says the C-bomb.
This is I don't appreciate the C-bomb, but this is exactly true. I replaced a roof of asbestos and we hosed each other down and took off our outfits and then sat there and smoked about five durries.
Five.
Juan Farcol said, grab a people who smoke heavily and have the flu.
I didn't know that was coming.
I was just letting you go.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe you would be able to breathe more easily if you quit smoking. Hashtag toxic mucus. Hashtag stay away.
Who said that?
Juan Farcol.
Yeah, don't judge me, Juan Farcol.
Four.
At Mikhail _ Os says, grab a mirror every at 7-Eleven store in Australia. Why do you sell 2x2 litre milk for $5? Who the fuck can get through 4 litres of milk before the expiry date?
Good point.
I tell you what, there's a bloke who's thought about it.
Yeah.
This is what we want.
Well, I'm not sure if he's right for our audience.
Do you want to have a go? You want me to have a go?
You have a go.
Grab a mirror, Richard Ogilvy, Sid.
What's Richard Ogilvy done to you?
Dickie, 75-year-old, yeah, and a former forester and sawmill owner, worked up to 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, treating rotten timbers and getting the engine running on a 40-foot Sea Wrath that was built in 1936 to train German officer cadets to sail.
What's a Sea Wrath?
It's a boat.
Okay.
And was taken over and sold by the Royal Navy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's bought this boat, yeah, and he's done a bunch of work in it to get this thing back on the water.
Good for him, I say.
The Dickster spent 5 years and thousands of pounds renovating the yacht in his garden, where all good boats are built, Sid.
Yes.
In the garden.
Yep.
The dad of five said part of the joy of the project was being able to work on it with his two sons. Old Dick Sticker said, it gave me a lovely feeling of friendship with them and brought a lump to my throat. Didn't the Maris brothers say that you brought a lump to their throat?
Yes.
Yeah, anyway.
I remember those days.
So after 5 years, the maiden voyage was set for last Saturday, Sid.
Yeah.
And guess what the
destination
of this first trip of the old renovated boat was, Sid?
Where was it going?
The bottom of the ocean, Sid, as she she sunk fast in the career of the winner of The Voice.
No.
Straight to the bottom. So grab a mirror, Dickie, and have a good, long, hard look at yourself, because you know what's not looking back at Big Dick in the mirror, Sid?
What?
A boat builder.
Three.
At Derek Garrick said, grab a mirror, the dickhead at my local, who yells out, redraw, after every ticket in the Friday meat raffles. Here's an idea. Stop being an A-grade cockhead, buy some tickets, and leave the jokes to the funny men. Hashtag, you're about as funny as a kick in the pills.
Good point. Good point. It's like the guy that says, taxi, when someone drops a glass.
Two.
At Claudster 69.
Yes.
Says, he put in a cutout from the paper. Grab a mirror, sooty, the guinea pig, for tunneling into another pen with 24 females. When found, the owner said he was absolutely shattered and he slept for 2 days. So he's sired over 24 female guinea pigs, old sooty, after tunneling through into them. So that's number two.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good job.
One.
At Mr. Barjar said, "Grab a mirror, sooty."
Now I see what you've done.
For now being up to his eyeballs in 43 lots of 4 to 8 years of support payments for these illegitimate bastards after a one-night orgy.
Good job.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Oh, it's time for this, Sid. It's round 19 preview, Sid, and off the back of superhero round earlier this year, Todd Greenberg has decreed this round to be ordinary heroes round.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, that's right, Sid. Ordinary heroes round.
What is ordinary heroes round?
Teams will be encouraged to don one-off jerseys to celebrate the ordinary heroes around Australia. Already expect to see Raiders in a bright yellow and olive green jersey to celebrate all the bin collectors out there.
Yep.
I believe the Tigers will be in dark blue shorts, knee-high white socks and a white collared shirt to celebrate all the bus drivers.
That'll be good to see them in that.
And while the Roosters will be a cheeky little nurse's uniform, Sid.
Ooh,
obviously to celebrate all our wonderful strippers out there.
I like a nurse.
Friday, the Warriors take on the Panthers at Not So Smart in the Joe Nullivow Jug.
Well, let me be honest about this game. I could not give a flying. But I honestly think the Panthers will win. I don't care what their coach says.
You know nothing about football.
I never said I did. Panthers will win.
I hope the Warriors just to hear
Griffin say,
told you.
Yeah, we don't know nothing.
All right. The big game for the weekend is on Friday night. Raiders take on the Dragons at Geelong Cold in the Dave Barnhill Bowl.
Why is this the big game? Is this
under the pump?
Oh, definitely.
Both teams, especially the Raiders, they've got to win. But also the Dragons need to stop the rot that's setting in for their team as well.
And you know what? I think they will stop the rot.
You reckon the Dragons will win?
Yeah, I'm picking the Dragons down at Geelong Cold because, geez, that will piss off Ricky.
Well, I'm thinking... Here's me looking into the future.
Go on.
Dugan will get hurt in State of Origin.
Oh, probably 8 times.
$1.40
during the game.
Frizzell is also back from an injury. I expect he won't back up on Friday night.
Okay.
That leaves him 2 down. And I just reckon the Raiders might get over the top of these blokes.
All right.
So believe me, Dragons fans, I wouldn't mind tipping you this week, but I just don't think so.
That was some in-depth analysis.
Saturday. Knights take on the Broncos at the Shitters Block by Someone's Big Mac Stadium in the Craig Gower Cup.
Hang on. Craig Gower never played for Brisbane?
No, London Broncos.
Oh, geez, that's a stretch. Righto. I think the Broncos will win. They will just sneak past the Knights on a charge down. And then probably give away a penalty, but the Knights will miss the penalty and the Broncos will win.
Listen to me.
Yes.
And listen careful.
Yes.
Take all the kid money out of your kids' accounts.
Yeah. I don't have kids, but...
Okay. Go and rob every close neighbour. Sell all the good gear down cash converters.
Can I also say that we do not condone stealing from the neighbours, but go on.
Go to your parents' place.
Yes.
Sell your mum's fridge and a car.
Okay.
Get all the money you can.
Yes.
And put it on the Broncos. They will smash the Knights. Absolutely hose them down. The Knights' hearts are broken. They can't come back from this. And I'm telling you now, it could be, they might reach 100. The first team to reach 100 in a very long time.
Wow, that's interesting. We'll have to check when...
Pick the score on that. Ring Joel Kane.
Has any team ever got to 100?
Oh,
we'll check
long
backyard stats lab.
Titans take on the Sharks at Crazy Horse Stadium in the Matt Hilda mug.
Waltzing Matt Hilda. Greatest nickname ever. I love that
nickname. It's a good
name. The Sharkies will win.
Mm.
And the Sharkies are going to go deep into September. There's another phrase I hate.
No shit, Sherlock.
Insight there from Sid.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, Sharks will win this easy, won't they?
Can I hit this button?
No shit, Sherlock.
Sunday. Seagulls take on the Tigers at Legoland in the Terry Hill Trophy.
Yeah, look, the Seagulls look extremely impressive. I said at the beginning of the year, and they've come good. The Tigers will win by 10.
The Terry Hill Trophy, by the way, those playing at home and haven't seen it before, it's shaped in the like a lobster.
It is shaped like a lobster.
The Tigers will win this.
That's a great story. Look that up.
Rabbitohs take on the...
I think one of the Fulton boys was involved too. In that.
Scotty. Rabbitohs take on the Cowboys at Renovators Delight in the Dean Scifoletti Shield.
Mate, I love the Cowboys and I hate the Rabbitohs. The Cowboys will beat them by 16. It'll be 32-16.
This will go to Golden Point.
No, it won't.
It will. And I think in the long run, the Rabbitohs will get up in that.
Bullshit.
I'm telling you.
Anyway. Well, let me tell you what happened in Last Man Standing this week.
Tell us.
I skited and bragged and carried on that my $553.38 was all going on Manly, and I was robbed. I didn't know you were going to press that because I'm facing the other way looking at the whiteboard. Henry Perineum, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Ruined it for me.
14-4.
Yeah, the penalty count. That was disgraceful. So I'm back to zero. But how did your miserly $29 go?
What did I back?
You backed the Storm. Exactly.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No good.
So hopefully everyone cashed in on Sid Punts before I am now back to zero, and like you are. But you still owe me 20 because
yeah.
We both bombed out the same week.
Who are you going this week?
I'm going the Dragons.
Try and get your money back all in one go.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm going the Dragons because there'll
see how,
be...
See how professional punters do it.
Exactly. There'll be big odds on the Dragons Raiders. I reckon that'll be like $1.90 each, won't it?
Yeah. Hang on, I'll have a look for you.
Have a look.
Pad that out. Pad it
but
out.
I'm going for the Dragons because historically, every time I've picked the Dragons, they've gotten up.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's really true. I'm just padding for time now. Worst, get your app going.
Worst piece of padding I've ever
heard.
Let
me tell you a story about the Dragons. I used to play.
Oh, you fucking app crash.
I used to play for a junior footy team for the Dragons. Jason Stevens was a couple of years older than me.
Were you the one telling me about Gordon Tallis playing for that team?
Go on.
I don't think you were.
What? Yeah. I've got a Gordon Tallis story.
Yeah, so have I. He's an interesting guy. Anyway.
The idea was that I talk while you look up the app.
I'll tell you.
Don't pause and tell another story.
Who are you going for?
I'm going for the Dragons over the Raiders.
$2.54. Enjoy those odds.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Who are you going for?
Raiders.
Are you serious?
$1.52.
Clever. Clever. Well, one of us is going to get up.
Me.
Remember, get on, put hashtag team former or hashtag team Sid Punts, and you'll probably lose your money. He's the last man standing, Sid Farmer.
Last man standing. Blow up the sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boy is sad. Boys, sack, mail and feedback time. Sid, and first of all, I want to start off with a shout-out. I'm going to do this a little bit more regularly.
Okay.
A shout-out to Andrew Ferguson. You can find Andrew on Twitter, at AndrewRLP. And his awesome, awesome website, the Rugby League Project.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone that wants to know anything about the history of rugby league,
games. Go to the Backyard Stats Lab.
If you're not getting it from the Backyard Stats Lab, then go down to the Rugby League Project, which is just down the road from the Backyard Stats Lab.
Yeah, it's at Mortal.
Yeah, it's not as many shady characters hanging around the back the project. So yeah, have a look at that. Really, really good website.
It certainly is.
Andrew does some great work, and you can find him on Twitter.
Here, here.
He's up for a chat all the time. Now, full credit to the boys' time, Sid. This one's from Penrith Way.
It is indeed a double barrel.
This is from the accountant Regan Campbell Gillard.
You know, full credit to Mez and Jimmy T. You know, they started really well in the first half, and Again, full credit to the boys. They come off the bench and, they pretty much went up another gear. So,
can I just say, if you're a rugby league fan, not just a Penrith fan, but if you're a rugby league fan and you want to see a really riveting interview, just go and have a look at that interview on the Penrith side. I mean,
we just listened to 8 minutes of that and grabbed 3 seconds.
And I tell you what, it was awesome. We could listen to it 3 or 4 times.
Oh, we could have put it back to back 3 times.
Amazing
stuff.
It
was exciting stuff.
5-star review time sitting on iTunes. One from AAGGDH, who said, just a couple of magnificent bastards talking rugby league. Funny as hell.
Thank you very much, Agd.
Be
good
back.
Review.
Agd, be
very,
back.
Very, very accurate. Thank you.
Now, next week, we have a guest we have all but locked in.
Yeah, we just jagged that tonight.
Yeah, we just sent a sneaky message off to a bloke who was...
It's a little bit out of left field.
But it's topical at the same time.
It is, it is.
I think you'll enjoy the chat if we can get it. He's all keen. He sent his number and everything's ready to go.
Yeah.
So
should we broadcast his number?
Yeah. 04. 3-1.
Only so many options you can
8-7-1-1.
No, that'll be good.
So look forward to that. Really, like I said, it'll be interesting. One from left field.
Yeah, it'll be fantastic.
Now, subscribe, Sid. How many times do people have to subscribe and unsubscribe?
Well, there's been a bit of confusion about this subscribe and unsubscribe. I've actually had two conversations this week where people think that is part of our numbers.
Mm.
It's not part of our actual download numbers, which...
No.
Which, can I say, we reached a new record with Eric Groth Jr.
We did reach a new record. And
like, phenomenal numbers. We were dead set wrapped. And a great bloke, Eric Groth Jr., don't need to tell you all 400 bajillion of you that downloaded it last week. But yeah, the idea of subscribing and unsubscribing is just to fuck around with iTunes, basically.
Yeah, it's a glitch in iTunes. Their charts do not measure how many downloads you get.
Otherwise we'd be heaps higher.
It's actually manipulated by many podcasts, including us.
Yes.
Subscribing and unsubscribing. And if you all do it, let's just say if you all do it, we'll be number one, which will be just a massive in joke. So if you want to have a crack and you're bored, just keep tapping subscribe and unsubscribe a million times and watch iTunes go crazy.
But what I would prefer is you all just tell your friends, have you not listened to this podcast?
Yeah.
Make them the outsider.
Yeah.
Spread the word.
Thank you for those who've watched us on Facebook.
What about that? That was exciting.
Strange times we live in.
Yes.
All right, well... Who's your dickhead of the week, Sid?
My dickhead of the week is Channel 9.
Oh, no.
They have described this week's State of Origin
Who does next week's guest work for again? Oh, anyway, no worries.
Anyway, it's not confirmed yet. Channel 9 has described this week's State of Origin as the greatest Origin game ever. Now, whilst I might agree that it'll be good, it'll only be good if New South Wales win. Otherwise, Channel 9 should be calling this another disappointing Origin game. There will be 3 more next year.
Let's never talk about this again.
It'll only be good if we win, and let's hope we do.
My dickhead of the week.
Yes.
Jerry Lynn.
Sid. Who's Jerry Lynn?
Well, a family have been haunted by an alarm clock that has been ringing for 13 years.
This was actually going to be mine.
Oh, you know it.
Yeah, this is great story.
They have peace at last, but it was finally removed from their home. The clock had been stuck in a vent for over a decade and had been beeping every hour, as well as once a day sounding its alarm that went for a three-minute burst. The owner, Jerry Lynn, is a builder, Sid.
Yeah, couldn't be arsed getting this freaking alarm clock out of his wall cavity.
And he said it was his fault that the clock had been stuck in the vent, as he was the one who lowered the clock down the vent 13 years ago.
Good idea.
It seems old Jerry thought that by putting the alarm clock down the vent with a string and setting the alarm off, that he would be able to pinpoint the optimum spot to drill through a wall.
Yeah, he could pinpoint it for the next 13 years or something.
But unfortunately, the string broke after he was trying to remove the battery-operated clock from the vent, and he couldn't get it out. Miraculously, the battery lasted for 13 years, meaning it would beep loudly every hour and an alarm once a day.
I love these stories.
After seeing the story about Jerry's plight on the local news, geez, there's some hard-hitting stories on the local news.
Oh, yeah, it's like up in Musselbrook.
There you go, Pete. A local air conditioning mob came out and got the clock out of the vent in under an hour.
Yeah.
Complete with a rusting battery that was still powering the clock.
This is the greatest story ever. Well, I love this.
No word on how Jerry's building business is going, Sid, after this story came out.
Yeah.
But I'm tipping the jobs might be drying up.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, this reminds, they're a pretty tolerant sort of family, the old Jerry Lynn's family, Sid.
Yeah.
The story reminds me of a former teammate from the 90s who drove... Okay. The biggest bucket of shit Datsun 180B you've ever seen.
Yeah.
We always reckon it was called a 180B because that's how many problems it had. Anyway, one of the blokes reckoned that if this shit box was the first car ever invented, people would have been like, no thanks, and still be riding horse and buggies after they saw it. Anyway, every week the grinding noise coming out of his gearbox was getting worse and worse, and he could hear this pile of shit coming from a mile away. So much so that after about 3 months, he came to training and told everyone he'd fixed the problem. So after training, we went out. We had a shower, we went out, and he showed us how he'd sorted out the noise. He opened the boot, and here was the biggest set of fuck-off speakers I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And every time the noise started coming through the gearbox, he turned the volume up to 50%.
Fixed it.
The problem went away.
That's cool.
Who's under the pump this week, Sid?
Mate, I'll tell you who's under the pump. Two people. Mary, glug, glug, brum, brum, McGregor, and Ricky... Stewart.
Yep. Why are they under the pump?
Both signed long-term contract extensions and have not won a game ever since. I don't need to tell you Canberra or St. George fans this. This is not a scoop. So this week, they come up against each other like you and I do in Last Man Standing.
Could be nil or draw.
One of you will continue that shithouse form. And the other one will jag a win.
Unlucky, Mary. under the pump this week is the Gold Coast McDonald's outlet. Don't call them a restaurant. who this week has banned school kids from coming into their fast food joint during school hours, Sid.
Why?
Well, something to do with people wagging and getting in there. But they might as well shut the joint down. I mean, no school kids during school hours. Who's going to work there?
Good point.
Who's going to pick their face while they take your order for a McPickle burger? Who's going to look through Instagram while making your dishwater coffee? Who's going to push a broom into a plastic scooper while they brush the same square meter of floor and look out the window wondering how many likes their latest Facebook post has got?
How many people have looked at my Facebook live stream?
P.S.
Yeah.
Just on McDonald's. Have you heard that they're trialling in a few different, restaurants.
Restaurants, they're restaurants.
Sit-down waiter services.
Yeah, I've heard this.
In some of their tips. Is this a reaction?
You're not a fan, are you?
Is this a reaction to my recent Grab a Mirror about dickheads that refer to McDonald's as restaurants, Sid?
Well, I think this is a direct reaction. They're out there listening.
Don't forget to tell your friends about this podcast and tell them not to listen to it. In the meantime, that'll do us for tonight,
yes,
won't it?
Yes, it's good night from me.
Three bottles of wine and half a carton of beer later.
That's just me.
That's just you. I've had one protein shake.
Yeah, and it shaved.
We laughed. All right, in the meantime, it's good night from him.
Yeah, and it's good night from me as well.
Good night. You're playing games with my heart. I got a lot, but I ain't got all night. Get it started, it'll be